All right, the ushers have a handout tonight. And go ahead and open your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4. On Wednesday evenings, we've been going through, slowly, through the book of Proverbs. And I've entitled the series, Wisdom from Above. And this is not a verse-by-verse through Proverbs. It's not even necessarily a section-by-section, although it's become that up to now. It's just some things as we go through this book the Lord leads me to preach on. And when Proverbs chapter 4, one of the things I've done that I thought this may interest you and interest me anyway, and possibly some of you, that I've been looking at the paragraph breaks in Proverbs. You know, of course, you know that the verses, as far as verses in the scripture and chapters, are man-made. You know, they put them in. But the Bible was written in paragraphs, and typically when you write something, your thought is a paragraph, and then it's a new thought, it's a new paragraph. So it's been helping me to link some verses together, and that was the case tonight with this passage, because typically when we read Proverbs chapter 4 in this passage, beginning in verse 20, we really hone in on verse 23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. That's a sermon in and of itself, so but I'm going to try to take it in the context of the book, and in the context of the paragraph that Solomon, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, has penned. So Proverbs chapter 4, notice verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. We'll stop there. I want you to think about this as what it is. It is a father talking to his son and giving him instructions. Now, we understand these are God's words. We believe in inspiration and preservation. Every word is God's, jot and tittle and so forth. But, of course, God used this situation of a son speaking to his child to speak to us about this subject. Amen. And so as we go through this, I hope you keep that in mind. Let's pray and we'll begin. Father, thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I pray this evening that you'd help me as I preach your word. Yes, help me, Lord. Father, I believe you've led me to preach this message tonight. And I pray you'd give us all ears to hear this evening, no matter what our situation is in life. If we work with children, of course, this would be a help. If we're around children, if we're aunts and uncles and grandparents, this will help us, and in particular, Lord, parents. Amen. And so please, I pray, a fresh filling of thy spirit, lead and direct as I speak and preach this evening. Use me for your honor and glory, and may our eyes be fixed upon thee. Yes. And we ask your blessing and help. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. There was a recent report entitled Kids Count Data Center. It's published by a group. I've never heard of this group. You may have. The Annie E. Casey Foundation, also known as the AECF. It's an organization devoted to strengthening families and building stronger communities. The article was about the number of youth that are incarcerated and or confined in the United States. Now, it made the following statement in this report, and I quote, "The United States leads the industrialized world in the rate at which it locks up young people." Number one. According to this organization, there's every year approximately 195,000 young people are admitted into detention facilities nationwide. 15,600 are held in detention every single day. Currently, they say, according to this article, there are over 36,000 under the age of 21 that are detained, incarcerated, or in residential facilities. And I want you to think about that for a moment. The United States of America, the United States, the Christian nation, right, has more youth rebellion percentage-wise than any other country in the industrialized world. Number one. Does that bother you? It should. We have more rebellion than anybody else. Even some Christian homes, perhaps I could say many Christian homes, are dealing with rebellion. Rebellious kids. Kids that are rebellious towards God, rebellious towards the things of God, rebellious towards God's word, rebellious towards their Christian parents. Why is that? Why is this happening? The bigger question is this: what can we do about it? What should we do about it? Tonight I'd like to preach on this subject. If you'll notice at the top of your sheet, the wisdom of preventing rebellion. Amen. How many would like to prevent rebellion from occurring? Raise your hand. I hope everybody raised. So I don't have kids. Okay, well, care for someone else then, would you, for a moment? Amen. We should care anyway. You work with kids, you work with a bus ministry, you work in a Sunday school class, or you're around kids, you're an aunt or your uncle, this should bother you.
Right.
And we should do everything in our power to try and prevent rebellion.
Amen.
But how do we do it biblically?
Good.
You know, rebellion is something, we must understand the foundation here. It's something that's in the heart of every human being.
Amen.
Well, I was never a rebellious child. Oh, be quiet. Be quiet already. You may not have been as bad as some others, but you were rebellious too.
Amen.
Maybe a different level. You see, rebellion is a result of the fall of man.
Amen.
It's what it is. It's in all of us.
Right.
It's a part of the fallen nature of man.
Amen.
Jude verse 8, we read, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. It's talking about people that despise dominion. In other words, I don't want anybody telling me what to do.
Right.
That's in all of us.
Amen.
It's in you. It's in me. It's in me.
Amen.
Because all of us by nature are rebels.
Right.
Now, I thank God that through knowing the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, that coming to salvation, to knowing Christ, and then yielding ourselves to Him, that He makes us new creatures. Amen.
Amen.
The old man has passed away. All things have become new.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for that. And He gives us a new nature where you and I can have victory over rebellion, and we can put any rebellion in us to death.
Amen.
But it's not by our own power.
Right.
It's only through the power of the Holy Spirit. That Amen. Power that I preached about Sunday morning that worketh in us.
Amen.
But understand, rebellion is something that all of us, young and old, have to deal with.
Right.
Now, what is rebellion? Please humor me for a moment as I give you some definitions. It's defined as this: the act of deliberately opposing rules or authority. There it is.
Right.
When someone deliberately opposes rules or authority, that, my friend, is rebellion.
Right.
Way of Life Encyclopedia defines it this way: it is resistance to lawful authority. It is revolt. It is obstinate disobedience. I like Webster's 1828 dictionary. It says to revolt, to renounce the authority of the laws and government to which one owes allegiance, to rise in violent opposition against lawful authority. Again, it's very simply put, it's when you and I refuse to submit to the God-placed authority in our lives and God-given commands in His Word. When we push back against that, that's rebellion. You know, the word rebel in its forms are found in 93 verses in the Word of God. I won't obviously read them all, but some examples are Proverbs 17 and verse 11. An evil man seeketh only rebellion, therefore a cruel messenger shall be sent against him. We see examples of rebellion in the Word of God, throughout the Word of God. The nation of Israel was guilty of rebellion against God. Ezekiel 2:3. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me, even unto this very day. Do you remember what Moses said in the wilderness wanderings with the Israelites? What he said about them, Numbers 20 and verse 10. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said unto them, Hear now, ye rebels! Must we fetch you water out of this rock? And by the way, there's a warning for all of God's people about that rebellious nature that is in us. Numbers 14:9. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us. Their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Fear them not. Don't rebel against God.
Amen.
But you know, here in our text, the word rebellion is not there. The word rebel, rebellion, is not there. But if you read it closely, the principle is. God's dealing specifically here with a father's admonition, Solomon here, as a parent to his son. And notice what he says in verse 20 and 21. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Notice, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. In other words, what he's saying is, son, don't be rebellious.
Right.
Don't be a rebel. So tonight I want to take this passage apart and see some wisdom from above.
Amen.
That God is giving us concerning rebellion.
Amen.
Recognizing rebellion, preventing rebellion, praying for any rebellious spirit that is in ourselves or in our home, that you and I might get victory over this evil, wicked thing called rebellion.
Amen.
Notice number one, if you would please, the training to prevent rebellion. How do we fix this thing? Well, there's training to be done. Notice here is a father, as I said before, a father speaking to his son. What's he doing? He's training him. He's telling him something. He's saying again, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Now, as we have said before in this series in Proverbs, the training ground, the place, if you will, that God has provided for the raising of children is the home.
Amen.
It's the home. It is not the daycare's responsibility to raise your children.
Right.
It is not a relative's responsibility to raise your children. It's not a grandparent's responsibility. It's not older siblings' responsibility to raise your children. It's not the Christian school's responsibility to raise your children. By the way, it's not the government's responsibility
Amen.
To raise your children either. And it's not even the church's responsibility.
Right.
The God-ordained place that children are to be trained, are to be raised, are to be reared is the home.
Amen.
The home. Deuteronomy 11:19, and ye shall teach them, your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Which means that the home is the place, it is the training ground for the prevention of rebellion.
Right.
It is. You see, if you are going to prevent rebellion, don't point out there, well, it's the friends that, no, let's start in the home. Because that's the training ground. It must begin this prevention in the home. Now, in our text, we see two things, I believe, in those two verses I just read. Actually, read them a couple times already. Notice, first of all, letter A, the work of the parents. How many parents here with kids in the home? Would you raise your hand? Parents, okay, this applies to you. Notice in verse 20, my son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Here we see the parent instructing his son. He's telling his child to attend to his words and listen to what he is saying. Do you know that every parent has the God-given obligation to teach their child what is right and what is wrong? Amen. To instruct your child on what is acceptable behavior and what is unacceptable behavior. Amen. What is proper conduct and what is improper conduct. And understand that our standard for doing so is God's Word.
Amen.
It's not the opinions of men, it's not the culture that we live in, it's not what your neighbor is doing or what some other relative is doing. The standard is the Word of God.
Amen.
You see, it's not a matter of what you think or I think is right or wrong. It's not a matter of how we think they ought to behave. It's a matter of what God says and what God wants.
Amen.
And we're to train them. You see, children, young people must be taught the life principles of God's Word.
Amen.
For example, to respect authority.
Right.
They ought to be taught that. They ought to be taught to obey authority. I know that's a buzzword today, isn't it? Yes, obey authority. To do what they are told when they're told, the first time. You see, they must be taught all these things. They must be taught that there are certain ways that you treat people, and there's certain ways you don't treat people.
Amen.
There's certain ways you speak to people, and there's certain ways you don't speak to people. They're not to be complainers about things. They're not to be critical of people, critical of things. They are to be thankful. They are to be appreciative.
Amen.
These are all principles from the Word of God.
Praise the Lord.
And you as a parent should teach them. By the way, there's also things that that must be taught that I would say a civilized, educated, manner-oriented society should teach. Of course, based on God's principles. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, things like this. You know, when you come into contact with someone, you should greet them.
Right.
You should say hello.
Amen.
Teach your children to do that. Say hello to people. You look people in the eye when you speak to them. That's what we teach them. Children should not engage in adult conversations unless they're asked. That's none of their business. Don't even listen in. There's a certain way they should sit at the table when they're eating. There's a certain way they should eat at the table. There's even a certain way they should leave the table. How many remember this? May I be excused? You remember that? Does anybody do that anymore? I don't know. I hope you do. We should be teaching that. Why? That's manners.
Amen.
It's principles. You see, these are things that you have to teach as a parent. And if you're going to do that, it takes work.
Amen.
Yeah, work.
Right.
That's why I entitled that letter A, the work of the parents. You see, this work of the parents must include three things. Write them down, please. When you're dealing and when you're teaching your children, training them, in order to prevent rebellion, number one, it includes correction. You're to correct your children. Proverbs 29 and verse 17. Correct thy son, and he shall give thee rest. Yea, he shall give thee delight, give the delight unto thy soul. When your child does wrong, correct them. Don't ignore it. Don't act like you're not seeing what everybody else is seeing. I mean, speak up. Say something. Don't check out as a parent. Don't check out when you're in public settings. Don't check out when you're at social gatherings. You are a parent to them all the time.
Right.
Which means whether it's in the home or outside or in the church house or wherever it may be, you must correct them.
Amen.
Now, when I speak of correction here, in this section here, I'm speaking primarily of verbal correction. Speaking up. To correct means to instruct, to reprove. That verse in Proverbs chapter 29 there. To instruct, to reprove. Tell them that's wrong. Don't do that. You need to stop. Teach them. By the way, correction is not screaming at them.
Amen.
Can I say that again?
Amen.
It's not screaming at them. It's not losing your temper on them. It is a firm but calm verbal rebuke. That's part of parenting. That's the work that's involved in parenting. You see, the reason that most parents scream at their children is because they let things build up and let them build up, and they don't deal with things until they explode in anger and give some tirade or some outburst. Don't do that. Christ never did that.
Amen.
Ephesians 4:26 says, "Be ye angry and sin not." Proverbs 14:17, "He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly." Proverbs 29:22, "An angry man stirreth up strife, and a furious man aboundeth in transgression." It is possible to correct your children without getting angry.
Amen.
It is. And the work of the parent includes correction. But then also number two, write this down, it also includes chastening. Chastening. Here we go. Let me just throw this out there as a disclaimer right off the bat. No one in their right mind, at least that I know, or anybody in this church, condones any form of abuse. Nobody. Nobody's for abuse. Whether it be physical abuse or mental abuse or emotional abuse or verbal abuse for that matter, any and all abuse is wrong. As a matter of fact, when speaking of the fragility of children, the Lord Jesus Christ said this in Luke 17:2, "It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than he should offend one of these little ones." Be careful how you treat children.
Amen.
We must never, ever, ever abuse a child or anyone for that matter. But there are times. There are times when a calm, controlled, loving, biblical spanking by a parent in certain circumstances is both right and necessary. Preacher, you just said the S word. Spank. I did. But take all of my words.
Amen.
Calm, controlled, loving, biblical spanking. And it is a part of a parent's work in raising children to prevent rebellion.
Right.
Proverbs 23 and verse 13, "Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die." By the way, a rod is not a baseball bat. Okay, a rod is a long, thin, flimsy, switch-like stick. The intent is never to injure a child, but to merely give a temporary sting. And I believe personally God has provided a nice place to do that about 2.5 feet down from the head on the backside. We're supposed to do that. Proverbs 22:15, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." You see, you start quoting some of these verses, and the liberals want to push you into place of, you're one of those abusers. No, not at all. Not at all. The intent is never to hurt the child, if you will, to harm the child, or definitely not to abuse him. Proverbs 13 and verse 24, "He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes." You see, why does God say this? That's pretty strong. And it is. Here's why. Because every child, including you and me when we were born, is born thinking that the world revolves around them.
Right.
It's in our nature.
Right.
And they must be taught that it doesn't.
Right.
You see, a child must learn that society does not revolve around them, that they cannot just behave any way they please whenever they want to. They must understand, they must learn that they don't make the rules, they do not get whatever they want, whenever they want, they don't order people around, they don't bully people around, they don't even make decisions. They don't decide what to eat, they don't decide where we're going, and they don't decide when to leave. Everything is not theirs, and life is not about them. But that's how we're born. By the way, that's a lesson that some adults still need to learn. Because we haven't learned it yet. And when training a child, preventing a rebel, sometimes that training includes chastening them when necessary.
Amen.
Again, I'll say it, a proper, loving, calm, biblical chastening.
Right.
So that's the work of the parents. This work includes correction. This work includes chastening. But then number three, this work also includes consistency. Do you know that being consistent is one of the hardest things for parents to do? Mm-hmm. I've experienced it as a parent myself, and I watch a lot of parents struggle with it as well. I've even heard many young parents say something like this, well, I've tried correcting, I've tried that chastening thing, but it doesn't work. My child's different, so I guess I'll just try something else. Stop already.
Yes.
Please listen. It's not about working. What doesn't work? It's not about working. It's about you as a parent obeying what God has commanded you to do with your child.
Amen.
when they misbehave.
Amen.
You have been commanded by God to correct your child. You have been commanded by God to chasten your child. And you simply obey, do what he says the way he says to do it.
Amen.
And let God deal with the results. You must be consistent. Don't give up as a parent, and don't give in.
Amen.
If you want to prevent rebellion.
Right.
You know, so many parents let the child wear them down. Work them over, we'll say. By the way, as long as you do, they will. They will. And it'll get harder and harder the longer that as they get older. I've seen little two-year-olds, so cute, two-year-olds. I mean, have their parents at their wit's end. I mean, two grown adults. I don't know what to do. I mean, it's like they lost their mind. That little child creates such havoc in the home and in the marriage and between siblings. And they literally control the household at 2 years old. Something's wrong with that. And most of the time, the problem is this. Parents aren't consistent.
Right.
You're not being consistent. Do you want to prevent a rebel? Do you want to stop rebellion from occurring? At least you're part of it. Do your work.
Amen.
Do your work. Correcting, chastening, and consistency. That is the work of the parents. That's what Solomon's doing here. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear to my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. That's what he's doing.
Amen.
Then let it be, watch this, write this down, the warning of the parents. So in training to prevent rebellion, we see the work of the parents, but then we see the warning of the parents as well. You know, when training a child, it's important to warn them. Notice what Solomon says in verse 21. Let them, he's talking about the words and his sayings, let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. Watch this, for he's instructing his son, for they are life unto those that find them and health to all their flesh.
Amen.
What's he doing? He's warning.
Amen.
He's warning the child about where a life of rebellion is going to lead. You see, obedience to God's word is what brings life. It is what brings health. It's that life that Jesus talked about in John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and they might have it more abundantly.
Amen.
You see, I hope you're convinced of this. The very best life that any person can live is a life of obedience to God's word.
Amen.
That's where freedom comes. Amen. That's not bondage. It's the greatest freedom. And we must be teaching our children that truth.
Amen.
You know why? Because the devil and the world's teaching the opposite.
Right.
Teaching the exact opposite. They're telling your children that you can't enjoy life unless you do some of the things we do.
Right.
Like date around, sleep around, drink alcohol, try a little marijuana, stay out late, go to bars, live the fast life. Man, there's life for you. That's what the world says.
Right.
That's what the devil says.
Amen.
And he says, if you don't try these things, then you have not experienced life. That's what he does.
Amen.
That's a lie of the devil.
Right.
An absolute lie. You see, if we are going to prevent rebellion, we must train our children in the truth.
Amen.
So number one, we see the training to prevent rebellion, the work of the parents, correction, chastening, and consistency, the warning of the parents to the child that live this way and live. Then number two, the truth about rebellion. Now we get to verse 23, a verse we often take as a standalone verse.
Amen.
Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Amen.
Now this is a great verse for all of us.
Right.
We should all keep our heart. We should all guard our heart.
Right.
We should all give attendance, as I mentioned Sunday, to the inner man and to our heart. Why? Because of out of it, what's going on in here is all the issues of life are taken care of, if this is right.
Right. Amen.
You see, the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. But in its context here, this verse is talking about, again, a father telling his son that the key to keeping his father's words, the key to doing what his father says, the key to keeping God's words is to have a heart that's right with God.
Amen.
He's telling his son, keep thy heart with all diligence. You have to do something I cannot do for you.
Right.
Keep your heart.
Amen.
You see, when a young person's heart is right, then they'll obey their parents.
Amen.
When a young person's heart is right, they'll have a good attitude.
Right.
And when a young person's heart is right, they'll want to live for God. It's all about the heart.
Praise the Lord.
So the bottom line for the parent is this. So let me throw this in there. You should and can do everything that you should and can do as a parent. But there's another factor that's out of your control. And that's the young person's heart. The young person's heart. See, the truth about rebellion is this. It is a matter of the heart. Why do young people rebel? It's a heart problem.
Yes.
No, you don't understand. My parents and I did this and this happened to me and then therefore I have a right to live this way. No, you don't. Those things just influence us.
Right.
You are the one that makes the choice as to how you're going to live.
Right.
And you can allow those things that are maybe not so perfect in your life to build you as a stronger believer, as a stronger Christian,
Amen.
To draw you closer to God, which was God's intent for allowing those things.
Praise the Lord.
Well, you can try to use them as an excuse
right.
to live as a rebel. But the truth of the matter is the problem is your heart.
Amen.
Jeremiah 5:23, but this people hath a revolting and rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. You see, no matter what we do as a parent cannot make his child, we can't make him get saved.
Right.
We can't make him do right. We can't make them their heart. We can't make them love God. We can't make them serve God. We can't make them have the joy. Now, you can mechanically make them do some things. You know what I mean by that?
Yeah.
I mean wanting to do it. You say, preacher, what do I do then? You pray. That's where prayer comes in.
Praise the Lord.
You see, you and I do our part as parents are training to prevent rebellion. The work you do, you correct, you chasten, and you be consistent, and you warn them of where this road's going to lead. But then what do you got to do? You got to give them over to God.
Amen.
And ask God to do something in their heart that you cannot do. See, that's the truth about rebellion. It's a matter of the heart. But then I see a third thing in our text. Not only the training to prevent rebellion, not only the truth about rebellion, I see thirdly the telling signs of rebellion. Remember, this is all together here in this passage. Notice Solomon says to his son, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips. Put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. It's interesting. By the way, let me just throw this in here. It's probably a good place to do this. There's two types of rebellion. There is an overt rebellion. Right. That is an obvious, blatant, evident to all. Everybody says, that's a rebel right there. I mean, they're out carousing, they're destroying things, and disobedience is very evident.
Right.
But then there's the silent rebellion.
Right.
The quiet one. One that smiles to your face while evil's in their heart. One that their rebellion is hidden, it's concealed. It is outwardly compliant, but inwardly they are rebellious. May I say this? The most dangerous rebel is not the overt one, it's that silent one. Because they've learned how to play the game. But I see in our text here that there are two telling signs that a young person is in a state of rebellion, and Solomon to his son deals with them both. The first one is verse 24. The first sign is their mouth. Their mouth. What he says, put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. You see, a young person that has a rebellious heart will be filled with things like negativity,
yes,
criticism, tale-bearing, gossip, and they'll slander everyone. They'll slander their parents. They'll slander their school. They'll slander their teachers. They'll even slander the pastor. In other churches, they do that. They don't do that.
Amen.
Why is that? Because one of the outlets of a rebellion, of rebellion, is the mouth. James 3:2, for in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and is able also to bridle the whole body. The greatest spiritual thermometer that you and I have is in our mouths. Want to know how you're doing spiritually? Check out how you're talking.
Right.
If there's criticism and murmuring and complaining and negativity and slandering people, understand, you have rebellion in your heart.
Right.
Well, that's just the way I am preaching. No, it's rebellion.
Right.
Well, I you don't understand. And fill in the blank. I'm Irish. I'm Italian. Whatever it may be.
Uh-huh.
That's the way we are. No, that's the way Adam, the Adamic nature is. And it's called rebellion.
Amen.
You want to know if your child's got a rebellious heart? He or she will be constantly argumentative.
Yes.
They'll always answer back. They'll always have a better way, a better idea, a better way of doing things. They'll always have a reason why they did what they did, and always have something to say about everything. That's a telltale sign of rebellion. By the way, parent, that's why you should never allow your child to be critical, to be negative, or to talk back, because that breeds rebellion. And by the way, if you're doing that in your home, you are breeding rebellion in your child.
Yes.
Because the mouth is one of the telling signs of a rebel. But there's a second one. Not only it's their mouth, but notice in verse 25, let thine, what is it? Eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. The eyes. You can tell a lot about people from their eyes. And that's not just some spooky thing I'm making up. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:22, the light of the body is the eye. Is the eye. You know, when we were wearing those masks for all that time, you could tell when people were smiling just by their eyes. You could tell what was going on in their heart just by looking at their eyes. Because Jesus said that. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You can see what's going on in a person's heart with their eyes. You see, rebels give themselves away. by their eyes. I remember hearing a preacher one time, we were going to coming into a chapel, and the preacher said this, I could tell you right now who all the rebels are. I don't even know them, and I can tell them. How so? By their eyes. By their eyes, what they're looking at. You see, rebels give themselves away by their eyes. They cannot look authority in the eye. They can't do it. You say, how come? Because of their guilt. Mm-hmm. Because of the shame of their behavior. Because of what is going on in their heart. It prevents them from doing this. It is a telltale sign of a rebel. Parents, you want to know if you have trouble in your home? Listen to what's coming out of their mouth. And watch their eyes.
Right.
See what's going on. Because you'll know, I'm in trouble if I don't do something about it. So we see, number one, the training to prevent rebellion. Number two, we see the truth about rebellion. Number three, we see the telltale signs of rebellion, the mouth and the eyes. By the way, that was a big no-no in our house, to roll the eyes. That was a big no-no. That was automatic chastening, amen. Nobody rolls their eyes to us. Anyway, number three. And then lastly, notice how he finishes off this passage with the testimony of rebellion. Still the same paragraph. Ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So notice what the father is finishing off this passage with. He's telling one last thing to his son. He's saying this. Watch where you're going.
Amen.
Watch what path you're on. Amen. Consider where your behavior is going to take you.
Right.
Do you know the Bible declares and displays truth?
Praise the Lord.
But history confirms it.
Amen.
And history has had its long, long, long line of rebels.
Right.
People that refuse to learn, people that refuse to bend to God, people that refuse to submit to their God-ordained authority.
Right.
There's a long list of them.
Amen.
I mean, the world has had its Cains and its Lots and the sons of Korah and the Nadab and Abihus and the Achans. It's had, in our world, it's drug users. You're not the first one to try it.
Right.
It's had its dealers and its drinkers and its marijuana smokers and its promiscuous people.
Right.
It's had its young people that have flipped their nose, if you will, at their parents, have waved their hand at the church and at God and at His Word, and flippantly said, I know what I'm doing and I can handle it and it's going to be different for me. You think you're the first one to say that? You ain't the first cowboy in this rodeo.
Amen.
It's been a long rodeo.
Right.
And many have fallen off by doing those things. Amen. By the way, you look at the history of rebels. I'd like you to name one that it's worked out for. One. I'd like you to think through your mind of someone that perhaps years ago walked out of this church just waving goodbye and smiling and saying, I'm not coming back there. And I ask you, how are they doing today? Now, I'm not happy about that.
Amen.
I am not happy about
Amen.
That. I wish they came back.
Amen.
But where are they today?
Lord have mercy.
Jesus.
I'll tell you how many it's worked out for. I'll tell you, young person, listen up closely, because you're not the first one to think Amen. That I'm going to get out of here, I'm going to do my thing. Zero.
Amen.
It's worked out for nobody.
Amen.
That's why he's saying here, ponder, son.
Amen.
Son, ponder the path of thy feet.
Amen.
And make up your mind. Do you want to be a rebel? Or do you want to trust God and follow His
Amen.
Word?
Amen.
Do you want a life that you're going to look back on that you can never get back and have regrets and things you can never change? Or would you rather have a life of joy and service to God? Oh, yeah, it still has problems, but you have the blessings of God upon
Praise
you because you're not shaking your fist at God.
Amen.
See, there's wisdom at preventing rebellion.
Amen.
Parents, understand something. Every child was born a rebel.
Yes.
And it is your God-given duty. You have a work given to you by God to correct them, to chasten them, and to be consistent with them, to warn them of where the future lands. And understand, you cannot change their heart. That's where you pray and ask God to work in their hearts. And listen to what they're saying. And look at their eyes. And you'll know what's going on in their heart. And always remind them that they need to think about the path of life they're on.
Amen.
Because ponder the path of thy feet and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Tell them about these things so that you can do the best possible job at preventing rebellion.
Amen.
Let's pray.